the guiding force of Judaism is the Talmud, and the Talmud is the heart of darkness in human history. Everything that is evil in the world can be traced to its teaching. Now, really, people seem to be coming over to the mindset that John has, Kaminsky had, and people like myself have had for long, well over a few decades, at least a decade and a half, and he's been motivated to keep working and keep getting the word out. And he's joining me again from Florida. And without further ado, John, welcome to Inside the East.
Hello, Dennis. Merry Christmas and happy winter solstice.
Yeah, good winter solstice to you. What's the weather like in South Florida right now?
Well, I start to shiver when it goes below 60, so it was in the mid-40s last night, so I'm all bundled up. But the sun is shining. And your remark about that pipeline made an idea pop into my head. About the chemtrails, do you suppose that they are deliberately dimming the sky to solidify their reliance on oil and ruin the solar power industry?
Well, it's a theory. We had a host here. Actually, his last show was last week. I don't know why they let his show cease, but his Star Theory Radio with Kyle Hunton, that was his theory. That they're actually using chemtrails to kind of like block out the sun and keep the sun solar energy from having full effect here on this planet.
Yes. Well, it just crossed my mind. I never thought of it before, but I thought of it when you mentioned the pipeline deal. And when you mentioned Putin, anytime I hear Putin's name, I think of that terrible news I received from a friend in Australia that Putin's chief advisors are all Chabad Lubavitchers, and that has produced in my own mind a theory that really stays consistent back through history, that there's really only one side to world politics, and that one certain group of very rich men controls every aspect of it. And the step in thought that follows that is that all this posturing around Iran and all these rapes of Middle Eastern countries, the opposition that Russia, the tepid opposition that Russia seems to put forth, I wonder, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if it's just not a staged game, and that.
Well, where do you have this source of Putin's advisors being Chabad Lubavitch? That's actually something I have not heard.
It was a story on a newsletter. I forget the exact source of it, but it was repeated. On a newsletter put out by, of all things, Bible believers in Australia, which I don't really cotton to this philosophy, which features a fellow named Brother Branham, but his news judgment, in my opinion, has been impeccable over time. And when I see some of the questionable, almost theatrical responses to American moves, it makes me wonder in that direction. And then when you realize that throughout the 20th century, the Soviet Union was actually funded by the American people through the Jewish bankers who controlled the American economy. And even during World War II, when Joseph Stalin had a nervous breakdown in 1941, Averell Harriman went over and ran Russia for a time. So there's always been this kind of deliberate setup of the Cold War to, I believe, foster the increased need for arms sales, and that much of the Cold War was a put-up job, just like American involvement overseas now is a put-up job, where America creates the pretext for invasion and then claims they're fighting an enemy when they've really hired the enemy themselves. How many examples do we need between Saddam?
Yeah, I think that's a valid observation. Just want to get real quick, a lot of new faces. So apparently you have a lot of people here to hear you speak, John, but a lot, not necessarily everybody knows your history. You say that you've been an editor of up to 8 newspapers.
I started out as a sports guy.
Really? Sports? You should have stayed with it. It's big money.
Well, I've never completely gotten free of it, and I kind of look at it out of the corner of my eye. I don't pay the kind of attention I used to pay to it. But I started out as a sports editor, and then I excelled at that, and then became kind of bored with it and moved over into news. and bounced around at several New England papers in New Hampshire and Rhode Island and Connecticut. My last paper was as a wire editor of a Florida daily, and I was on the desk during 9/11, and I didn't stay at the paper too much longer after that because what I saw coming through the wire.
Okay, you're getting chopped up there, John. We're going into break, everybody. It's The Badge with John Kaminsky right here on Inside the Eyes Live, intelligent media for the critically aware. Welcome back, everybody. It's Fed. You live inside the eye right here on Oracle Broadcasting. Thanks for joining me from Florida, John Kaminsky, author and longtime internet article generator. I don't know what you want to call yourself out there, John, but all the articles you've written, kind of like you put your news days, your paper days to good work when you moved over to the internet.
I call it essayist. Some people call it blogger. I think that's undignified, but I'm an old guy, so
essayist sounds like it's got some class.
I try to stick with traditional terms.
So tell us, what was it like working in the newspaper business, the old print, ink, and photograph business?
Well, I come to learn I was a tyrant, that's for sure, because I was a perfectionist, and most of the people I worked with weren't. Most of the people were just there for the salary, but I was there for some kind of idea of perfection that I had, which maybe I achieved once or twice. But I like to tell people the most important thing I learned about working in newspapers is that a reporter's worst enemy is his own publisher. And this leads us to the flaw in all commercial journalism, which is whatever is published by those publications are constrained, the truth is constrained by the reality of advertising and the necessity to not offend the people who are paying you money to appear in their pages, in your pages. When we look at the state of American mainstream media now, the papers, the New York Times is a good example, and the finest example of the New York Times is that they never reported on the Ukrainian famine, the deliberately induced starvation of 9 million Ukrainians by Joseph Stalin and Lazar Kaganovich, the ancestor of Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. And the person who was covering Moscow at that time, Walter Duranty, wound up winning a Pulitzer Prize for his supposedly incisive coverage of Russia, and yet the New York Times never mentioned this major, major event in 20th century history.
But they did mention the 6 million Jews that were sacrificed in World War One, right?
In World War One, that's right.
They mentioned it in World War One, and it didn't work, so they had to come back and try it again in World War Two.
Yes, that was Martin Glynn, the governor of New York, who did that. It's the 6 million thing. You know about Kabbalah. That's got to be a Kabbalistic number.
It's their dreidel, man. They want you focused on that point. 666.
You know, my friend Bruce Campbell came up with a brilliant analysis of that whole thing, that Holocaust hysteria. The Holocaust hysteria was put in place to cover up the fact that Adolf Hitler's financial system, which he borrowed from Abraham Lincoln, was the very thing that was going to overthrow the Jewish world financial hegemony. And that's why the Holocaust hysteria was constructed, to keep people from realizing that.
Yes, that's actually something that we've raised on this show. The real lesson of National Socialism is, if you kick Jews out of your politics, you kick them out of your banking system, you kick them out of your cultural institutions, your legal system and the medical field, etc., your country's going to prosper if you actually manage everything properly.
Right. That's exactly the dilemma that we're in now, and that's exactly what has gotten me in so much trouble over time on the Internet with websites who profess to be fighting this onslaught of the Illuminati or whatever else they choose to call them besides Jews, but they can't, as is the case with mainstream newspapers, they can't come right out and say it, or they jeopardize their income.
Yeah, but, John, the mainstream newspapers now are propagandists pieces. I mean, they're part of the chessboard for mind control to keep people believing in this particular paradigm. It has nothing to do with these people in the newspapers having a say or wanting to come out with something different.
That's why I say the most important thing I learned in newspapers is that reporters' worst enemy is his own publisher.
Yeah, but that's assuming these reporters are independent. My point is, again, if it's not the publishers, these are actually strategic pieces to this larger control puzzle.
Back in my day, people didn't get into the newspaper business. Well, there was all sorts of different reasons, but true journalists didn't get into the newspaper business to become public relations slacks. They got into newspapers for the reasons that Sinclair and Mencken and all of the real reporters got into newspapers, was to find out the truth of what was going on. And that's most of them learn very quickly that you can't really do that, especially in big newspapers, because big newspapers are controlled by the controllers, and the controllers are all Jewish.
And in today's world, do you think people still get into it for that reason?
I can't say. I don't really know too many young journalists. I've noticed a couple of young webmasters and essayists like myself who seem to be principled. I've watched Chris Hedges a little bit, and I'm impressed by as far as he goes, but he won't touch the Jewish thing because he worked for the New York Times for a long time, and his worldview is shaped by the prism he looked through while he was there. He eventually had to quit because they wouldn't tell the truth about Iraq, so he was moving in that direction, but he still doesn't use the magic word. Everybody prefers to use the word Zionist or some other synonym for Jews, and that debate is precisely what has gotten me in trouble over the years.
Sure. I was with here and there. I met the actual UN media director, the guy that gives all the information to the press, and he told me that they gave the proper information about what was going on inside of Iraq. He was stationed in Baghdad. And the U.S. media completely ignored the information and or completely fabricated or twisted information. That U.S. media was essentially part and parcel to this crime. It was a crime against humanity, this war on Iraq.
Absolutely. And when you take that one step further and review some of the popular semi-mainstream internet websites, you find the same thing going on, only to a lesser degree, where they will analyze the proper facts, but inevitably fail to connect them to the controllers who select our politicians and force us to vote for them.
Indeed, it happens. We see it. This debate, by the way, John, is raging right now on this network.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a couple of us out there that we call it for what it is. We call a spade a spade. There are others that don't believe it should be done for perhaps business reasons. But, you know, that's just the way it's going to have to be. If you're going to solve the problem, you have to be able to vocalize it. And this is where people seem to be having a problem.
I just got an email from a good friend, who asked me for advice on how to respond to a so-called American patriot who'd been in the military for a long time and fought in various conflicts. And this veteran wrote my friend and told him that we need to get at the people who, the puppet masters who are behind Obama. Just railing about Obama doesn't really do any good, but to try to identify, there's that music.
It is, it's okay. Everybody, we're going into break. We'll be right back. It's Professor John Kaminsky. You're listening to Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on the Oracle Broadcast. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Professor, and you are live inside the eye right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Joining me from, again, Florida, John Kaminsky, essayist, electronic media essayist. That's a good little tagline there, huh, John?
I love it. You were asking me about newspaper stories and what I learned in the newspaper business, and I just gave you the...
Yeah, wrap up that last thought when we're going into the break. People having a hard time dealing with actually focusing on the key.
I told my friend, my friend was in a quandary about how to respond to somebody who was asking him how to target the people how to target the puppet masters who are controlling Obama, because just criticizing Obama doesn't really achieve anything. But aiming for who might be controlling him might be more productive. And I told my friend that he should respond to his veteran friend that he needed to realize that the people who have followed the laws and paid their taxes and voted in every election and been upstanding American citizens are really the problem, and why America is where it is today, because they haven't been critical enough of what the government has been doing in regard to the phony wars and false flag operations. So I told my friend that he should tell his veteran friend that he needed to look at his own behavior and realize that it was the righteous Christian evangelicals who hid the identity of the Jews that were really responsible for the fall of America. And Randy was one of them. We possibly was the poor old guys, so that most of the veterans now who wave their flags and say we've got to return to the way America used to be don't realize that they weren't defending America. They were defending the Jewish bankers who mislead America, as all of these boys and girls who have died in Iraq and Afghanistan and needlessly killed all these innocent people have also done.
Yeah, and I know we have some veterans that listen to the show. And I went to Iraq, and I went to Crete. I went to visit the 1st Infantry, U.S. Army. Went in behind, inside the base, met with the commander, met with the staff, met with pretty much everybody. And these people are very, to be realistic, they're very naive. The State Department found out that I was there, telephoned in, and said, who the hell is this civilian there? Well, they said, we don't know. He just showed up. He said, well, tell him to get the F off of that base immediately. And the commander came to me and said, Fetch, Dennis, I have some news from you. You know, it's great to see you. Great to have a visitor here. But I just got a call from Washington, man. You're not supposed to be here. We don't know how you got here, but I have to ask you to get off the base today. And I said, well, what am I going to do? I'm in the middle of the decree. This is bandit land. Why don't you give me a day to figure out what I'm going to do? And actually, that's exactly what happened. I ended up staying overnight, and then I left to some other government officials' houses to get off that base. But, you know, these people are naive. The military people really are naive. You don't want to call them stupid dogs or whatever, as Kissinger called them, you know, to be used. But they are naive, and these people need to wake up, because they're the ones who are doing the dying and killing. And yet they seem to be so, you know, they're doing their job, but they're not, and I know it's difficult. You know, the system it's not easy, John. You know, the system is geared against the average man and woman out there.
Well, I didn't tell you about my military history.
No, I didn't know you had one. You were in the military.
I was in the Navy for 4 years.
Really?
I was a typist and a statistician. And I spent 2 years in Texas playing golf and drinking beer. And then I wound up on a ship, and when I was on that ship, I got myself in big trouble for a number of things, but one of them was putting up peace signs on the ship. This was during Vietnam. And I was investigated by the FBI and not recommended for reenlistment, but when they held my interrogation, they found out that I was reading both Ramparts, which was a left-wing publication of the time, and American Opinion, which was a John Birch Society publication, and they asked me why I was reading such widely divergent material, and I said, because I want to know both sides of every story. And they said, you're crazy, we're not recommending you for reenlistment. And that is probably the aspect of my military service that I'm most proud of.
So you were actually protesting while a part of the Navy.
I was a sailor,
and it's a lot easier to get kicked out of the Navy for that than shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, I was Sailor of the Month one month, and I got an honorable discharge, and I've profited mightily from my VA medical care over time. They've saved my life a couple of times. So I'm happy to have served, but I certainly didn't enjoy it when I was in there. But I know what you mean when you say that the people in the military are basically decent people who've been misled by by these pigs like Donald Rumsfeld, who've never been in the military, and all of these politicians who've never served, who send people to their needless death with incredible ease.
Yeah, indeed. Now, one of the theories floating around now is that within the mid-level to upper-level management in the military, people are starting to figure out that a lot of the problems are the Israelis, mainly the focus on the Israelis, some Jewish elite, but mainly the Israelis, I think, are being targeted. Do you believe that's going on in the military?
I think it is, because when you see all these veterans who come out and join these peace groups, they're very articulate about what's going on, the senselessness of it all. And I think one of the key events of that progression and understanding in the minds of military people has to be the liberty, which they covered up for decades and has only started creeping out in the 1990s. But once people in the military find out that a U.S. ship was deliberately sunk by Israel with the approval of the American president, that has to do a number on their devotion.
What about 9/11 in Israel?
That's a whole segment or two, Dennis.
How about within the military? Do you believe senior military people?
No, I can't say. I was in the military during Vietnam.
So no information leaked to you that would be able to let you talk about this?
No, I have no idea what the deal was on that.
So that you got to talk to Gordon Duff.
That's another whole segment.
He's the key guy, you know. 50% of what he writes is BS, but you got to read him.
Maybe you do, and maybe you don't. I don't trust the guy, but some people do, and I would have to question their sanity.
You got a fun story for us from your media days. Obviously, if you're a typist in the Navy, you're like kind of like this is your calling is writing.
Well, I got my first byline in the seventh grade. So I've been doing it ever since then. But yes, there were two, you asked me about old newspaper stories and I don't.
Yeah, you got a fun story.
I don't think about them much anymore, but the two I remember, one is, a story about executive sessions where I was covering a board of selectmen. I think it might have been a planning zone in Newbury, Vermont. And, I was privy to all this, behind the scenes detail. And, you know, the elected officials were careful to tell me that it was off the record, but it was about a bribe that they had given to whomever it was got the contract that they let. And I wrote a story about it. I called it the Great Grass Fire Payoff. And I completely burned all my sources in that town by doing it. But I thought that the priority in my, I was still pretty new at this, the priority in my own mind was telling the truth about what happened. And when I was in the early days of 9/11, I thought about that story all the time where this mind lock was imposed on the American people. Everybody was urged to stand behind their government, because we'd been invaded by a foreign enemy. And yet every fact about 9/11 that I heard was a total fabrication. And I mean, we're still trying to figure out the details of 9/11, but one thing we know for sure is that everything the government said about it was a lie, and the investigation that they conducted into it was a total whitewash run by neocon Flax, who completely concealed and prohibited from saying anything about Israel's involvement in it. And now we have this same situation because they essentially got away with that. At least on a mainstream legal level, there has been no penetration at all about the Jewish role in 9/11, whereas the facts on the ground are that Jewish fingerprints are all over every aspect of 9/11.
John, we're going into a break. So hold your thought. It's a Fetch Inside the Iron Line, the intelligent media for the politically aware with John Kamish. We'll be right back right after this. And welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Iron Line, intelligent media for the politically aware. For all you coming over from Rumor Mill News, we saw that the article went live over there promoting the show. So if you are indeed joining us from Rumor Mill News today, thanks for coming in. Hope you make Inside the Eye Live just a part of your Saturday listening regimen. It is indeed one of the cutting-edge political/news talk shows that you can catch Saturday morning streaming on the World Wide Web. Joining me again, South Florida, John Kaminsky, essayist, as he likes to call himself. John, you had the story about, the media, your time in the newspaper business. You had another cute story, not a good story, but a good story, about people should be very weary of journalists. That doesn't seem to be the case nowadays.
Well, I think everybody's so frustrated about the what I like to call the mind lock on mainstream media, where no truth is being presented and all spin is being presented, and an artificial reality has been created where everybody's lives are now at risk by cops on steroids or poisons raining down from the sky or radiation engulfing the earth, and the mainstream media is saying nothing about these things. So everybody's blabbing to journalists. And that's a good thing, because potentially that will lead to an open society. But we still have the bigger problem of people who are mincing their words about the cause of all these problems, which is the main thrust of this program and a major objective in the lives of both you and me.
And the problem with media is it's not used to elevate truth anymore. It's used as a cover-up.
Well, I
generally to cover things up or to fabricate realities that just do not exist.
It always has been, because when we look at the history of the 20th century, I remember this editorial from the New York Times in about 1919, where it gave Woodrow Wilson the entire amount of credit for the creation of the Federal Reserve to stabilize the financial situation in the United States. And Woodrow Wilson really had nothing to do with the creation of it other than to put his signature on the legislation. This was all about Jewish bankers creating a system where they had adequate funding to begin their policy of perpetual war, which has never ended since that time.
Well, that's an interesting theory, the theory that the Federal Reserve was created. They couldn't create enough money to start World War One, so the Federal Reserve first had to be created so that they could initiate World War One, because they needed a way to pay for it.
Yep, that was the income tax.
And the Federal Reserve was used to create the money out of thin air that can be put into the system to enable the Western economies essentially to go fight and start World War One on really what was behalf of Jewish interest, because the end game was the Balfour Declaration.
That's right. That's Eustace Mullins's account of it.
And then of course that would then carry on into World War II, because Germany got rid of this banking system with the rise of National Socialism. The banking system was kicked out. They still didn't get Israel, so they needed to restart the war again.
And the important point about that is Hitler turned what can be described as not only similar to our present predicament, but a really ghastly situation where all of the German non-Jews, all of the German non-Jewish children had been turned into prostitutes on the streets to service the Jewish bankers and publishers and artists and performers. And Hitler turned that all around in 18 months by throwing the Jews out of their businesses and creating his own currency on faith of the credit of the people, put everybody to work. And as I say, in 18 months, they were taking cruise ship vacations while the rest of the world, especially in America, was starving under the depression that was created by the Jewish bankers here.
And they were creating so much wealth and business, they were actually importing labor from throughout Europe.
That's right.
So another point, people. And they also did it with an amazing grace. You know, the Autobahns are fantastic roadway. It's a fantastic roadway system, but it preserved the aesthetic beauty of the land.
It took me a long time to understand this, and I have developed a meme, which I've heard. I like developing memes and have them repeated, and I've developed a number of them, and one of them is about World War II. The real story about World War II is that it was three Jewish countries, the United States under Roosevelt, Britain under Churchill, and the Soviet Union under Stalin, that managed to obliterate the last and most serious threat to Jewish worldwide financial hegemony. And this is what people who call the Americans who fought in World War II the greatest generation, when in fact they were the most deluded generation.
And they provided, I saw a Ted Koppel, Nightline. He had a show, and it was dedicated to that generation. and thank you to this generation. And, you know, the tone of it was such that they weren't thanking them for, you know, everything they had done. What they were really thanking them for was being stupid enough to give the elites everything they ever dreamed of plus more.
I'm reading Mike Goodrich's Hellstorm now, which I hadn't known about before, and it is what the United States did to Germany and what they've done to the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and countless other countries should make every American so ashamed. I'm ashamed to be an American because Americans have willingly duped themselves in believing they're the land of the free and the home of the brave when all they've done has been killing people throughout their history to take their property.
Well, on behalf of the Jewish bankers, John, you know. You know, I mean, it's a process to wake people up. The problem we've had is that the American people are generally intellectually lazy.
Yep.
They want to be spoon-fed a reality, and not everybody, of course, but far too many are too easily led by the nose, basically, to the slaughter.
This whole notion about patriotism is totally misguided, it's really the same as Benjamin Netanyahu saying it's okay to kill Palestinian children because they're evil. It's really the same process. I remember back, a couple of years back, I became really incensed by a comment by Michael Lerner, who is a rabbi and the editor of the supposedly liberal Jewish publication Tikkun, and he said that the Israelis have the same justification to wipe out the Palestinians as the Americans had to wipe out the Indians. And he's right. They have the same justification to wipe out the Palestinians as Americans had to wipe out the Indians. And they're both totally evil and wrong.
Yeah, that's, and the problem that the Israelis and the Jewish people have is they created this Holocaust fabrication and they made it so evil, you know, to the Holocaust people, because it happened to them that this very tactic that they want to employ, which is to Holocaust the Palestinian people, now is seen with a very disdain where before it might have been palatable to a certain people. Now it's not palatable anymore.
The Holocaust is a whole segment, Dennis. I have a lot to say about that. People have been so misled by that. And it relates to 9/11. In fact, I've written a story called 9/11 and the Holocaust because they're really the same kind of operation where the media spins it one way and it's totally the opposite of what actually happened. How much time before the next break?
We got a minute and a half.
Okay, let's not go into it yet because it takes longer than that.
Yeah, because one of the things occultically we say, if you want to understand Jewish reality, just spin it upside down.
Well, that's a debate for your other show because that traces back to the beginnings of history, and involves the ritualization of the fear of death and how matriarchal society was eventually raped by men and turned into something that was just completely unbelievable and has devolved down to our present day of endless war and endless lives.
And it just seems to be nonstop. I know we want to get into the stuff going up in Connecticut. I think we'll get into that very quickly, guys. John, you've got just real quick 30 seconds. How are your feet?
Colloidal silver is helping. I'd rather take colloidal silver on them than the steroids that were recommended to me by my doctor.
All right, we'll get into the details of that when we come back, everybody. It's the Patch Inside the Eye Live with John Kaminsky. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Patch. You are listening to Inside the Eye Live. Our guest today, John Kaminsky, joining me again from South Florida, John Kaminsky. John, welcome back.
Hi, Dennis. It's a beautiful day here.
Is it? Yeah, it's cold here, man. We had a cold front come through. You have problems with your feet. Explain to everybody what happened to your feet.
Back when the oil spill first happened off the Louisiana coast, some people say I overreacted, but I thought I was being prudent, and I got the hell out of Florida as fast as I could. Stayed away for 3 months until I decided it was more or less safe and came back, and I've been here ever since. Prior to that time, for 13 years, I was a beach walker. I love the beach. I love to listen to the birds and listen to the ocean and just think. And I did it for 13 years. When I came back, I resumed that practice and soon got a rash on my feet, which I've been fighting for almost 3 years now and have not been able to get rid of it. It looks very much like the semi-lesions on the skin of the people in Louisiana who live close to the oil spill, although it's confined to a small area of my ankle. And I fought it with vitamin E and all sorts of other substances, tea tree oil, all of these supposed remedies. None of them worked. Finally, my doctor prescribed a steroid cream that knocked it down a little bit, but I didn't like using the steroids because it compromises your immune system. And I've gone to colloidal silver, which seems to be doing a better job, but it still hasn't gotten rid of it. And I think the substances that were put in the Gulf, the Corexit by the government against the advice of most of the scientists of the world, has created a permanent skin problem for everybody who sticks their feet into the Gulf.
And we'll be right back. Thanks for that. Inside the Outline, everybody. Okay, welcome back, everybody. It is The Bench, Inside the Eye, live, intelligent media for the politically aware, and welcome to all the new faces in the chat room. Chat room is open, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you right in. Phone numbers are open. If you'd like to call in and chat, they are 512-904-8014. That's 512-904-8014 or 1-866-841-1065. And for all of you internationally, you can use your Skype account and just press get on air and that will get you right in. And again, welcome to all the new listeners. Hope you make Saturday Inside the Eye Live part of your listening regimen. It is indeed one of the leading streaming news political shows on the internet on Saturday morning. So we hope you make Inside the Eye Live a part of your Saturdays. We welcome you. John, hi, welcome back.
Hello, Dennis.
All right. Did you get your coffee?
No, I had other business.
Okay. Well, I can just go to the phone lines. Guys, we have some calls already. Want to go to the phone lines right away, get a call in here. And, I don't know, maybe I have a connection problem with the internet here, guys. Bear with me, everybody. It seems like it should be working. You know, everything seems fine. I don't know, John. Just the best laid plans of mice and men. Let's move along for now, and we'll check it over the break. You know, you started off again in the day. You started, by the way, I printed the school newspaper in high school myself, so we go way back in the print and the media stuff, actually. We share a lot of history in that regard. I was the old printer of the school newspaper and the editor of the paper because I refused to let anyone go out to ask the printing press if it didn't meet my standards. So sometimes I would actually take the school newspaper back to the teacher who was responsible for the staff, and I'd say, I'm not printing this. What you mean? I said, you read it. I'm not going to print this. It sucks. I'm not printing it. Talk to your editor, because if she doesn't change it, it's not going out, you know. So I actually did that back when I was in high school. That's how far back the media goes for me also.
Now, well, I was a tyrant back in the days of manual paste-up, where you'd have to run around a paste-up board pasting headlines and stories into page templates. And it was kind of like herding cattle. With the help of people who didn't always know what they were doing and really didn't care too much about what they were doing.
Yeah, I remember putting the film on the light boards and going into the dark room and actually putting your gray screen together and doing all that stuff. I did it all. Those were the days, John. Now I love the computer. It's so much more convenient. We are able to publish in a flash, if you know what I mean. And we can go out globally, literally within seconds. Tell me, when you quit the newspapers really was right after 9/11.
It was right after 9/11, although it wasn't totally related to that. It was mostly related to the chaos and unconsciousness of the particular newspaper. But when I did see the stories that were being put out by The Wire, that is when it finally crystallized for me that everything I was doing was a waste of time, because it was just putting out propaganda rather than real facts. And even on a local level, that was the case, because newspapers can't get into the real juicy stuff on a local level because they jeopardize their advertising, and the publishers of these newspapers are generally tied in with the business community, so it becomes kind of a conspiracy of silence. that keeps the real news from the people.
And when did you start to pick up the 9/11 stories? I mean, I remember reading you really very early in the news cycle of the 9/11 story breaking and not appearing. There was the 9/11 as it was sold to us by the Jewish controlled media, because that's what it is, didn't match with what we saw on television. And when did you start to write about 9/11?
The first story that I ever had on the internet was about the Patriot Act, which was a little bit after 9/11. And I saw the Patriot Act passed, and I didn't see any stories about it, so I just found an ACLU press release and cobbled the story together, and a lot of people picked it up. So I began to write other stories, and not too many other people picked those up, but all of a sudden, I didn't even know about it. I'd never heard of Rents, but there was a story of mine on Rents, so we developed a pretty good relationship, and I was cranking stories out left and right, and from 9/11 quickly veered into the Holocaust material, because I had come across it. Let me back up just a bit. For most of my life, I was a kind of a deluded, bleeding heart liberal. I was always against organized religion, but I had no special focus on the Jews at all. I thought they were just another ethnic group. And I have to back up to the early 90s when I had, let me think here, let me get this in sequence. In 1990, I was running an entertainment newspaper in Keene, New Hampshire, and I quickly converted it into an anti-war newspaper when the Gulf War started. I wasn't going to tell you about that, not too much, because after that, it was sold to a Jewish owner, and he got fed up with my, I think I wrote 13 weekly columns in a row about the Gulf War, and he couldn't deal with it, so he fired me. I started my own newspaper, which was successful for a year or so. But then I ran across a friend introduced me to the Protocols of Zion. And up until that time, I thought the Jews were just another ethnic group. And I innocently put it in my newspaper, and overnight my support disappeared and I got run out of Brattleboro. And then I knew something was up, but I was in such a state of frustration that I kind of went away from it, went to San Francisco, started working on fictional stuff, and then when I came to Florida from San Francisco, went to work for a newspaper. So when I got on the internet, I kind of revisited the Holocaust stuff, and in hearing the lies that were put out by the government about 9/11, it quickly became obvious that there were major Jewish manipulators in every avenue, in every aspect.
For some reason you break up. Everybody, it's The Fetch with John Kaminsky. John will be right back. Hang tight on the phone. It's The Fetch Inside the Iron Line. Intelligent media for the critically aware, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's The Fetch Inside the Iron Line. Intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Chat room again is open, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in. A good crowd there, 30 people or so hanging out. Lots of good information typically, and then lots of just casual conversation equally. So join us there. We had to disconnect from the network to get the phones to work, and it looks like they are now working. So with that in mind, go ahead and feel free to call back, everybody. 512-904-8014. That's 512-904-8014 or 1-866-841-1065. Or you can use your Skype account, especially if you're international. That's Get On Air. Just dial in Get On Air. It'll automatically add the account to your account and put you in the queue. Going now to the West Coast, Zane in Washington. Hi, Zane. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Fetch. Hi, John.
Hi, Zane.
I have another media idea for you, Fetch. This time it's FM radio, and I've been exploring this idea in the town that I live. You can buy a FM broadcasting unit off of Amazon for less than $250, and the way that you would get content you would stream it from the internet, either from Oracle or any other internet broadcasters. But you might need, and I'm still working on this, you might need to do some fancy footwork to be able to break in or hijack the signal. so that you could offer some local programming and, you know what I mean?
Micro broadcasters, I think they're calling those.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be a way for people to communicate locally regarding local issues. You could have a local show.
Yeah.
Or you could even add, advertisers if you're able to, you know, hijack it over the signal that you would get from Oracle or something. I don't know if, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, tossing this out there to see if there's anybody that might know about
this. That needs to come on the business development theme there. Got any questions for John there, Zane?
Hey, Zane.
Yeah, I do.
Zane, before you do that, I just want to say thanks for everything you did for me. And, I'm beginning to realize that I've been really too hard on everybody who doesn't follow what I'm saying, but that's because it's really important to stay on point with focusing on the Jewish context of every single issue, because if you don't do that, you miss the boat, you become misdirected. And it's really important that we spend all of our time focusing on the number one cause of all our problems, which is this Jewish manipulation of reality. So where we lost touch was there were too many distractions in it, and I just wanted to apologize for the harsh way in which I cut off our relationship.
Well, Zane, that sounds like an inside story.
Apology accepted. I have a question, though, real quick, Fetch.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've noticed a small bug. It's just a flying creature that is just really small. And they seem to be like everywhere, and everybody's not everybody, but you know, a lot of people are commenting on this. And usually, these bugs out here are gone by this time of year. This is too cold for these bugs. Usually, they disappear. Well, I'm wondering if John has ever heard of any GMO creatures, insects, or anything like that.
Most definitely. The likelihood is that there are drones that are spying on you that are that size. I've seen numerous stories about them.
Now, come on now.
No, I'm not kidding.
This is where we're at now. We have to have these FM stations in order to talk about these issues, because otherwise things like this will just never come to light. But if you talk to people in the neighborhood, they'll say, yeah, these bugs, they're driving me crazy, and then it would become an issue.
These people have seen not necessarily bugs, but other smaller things moving around, flying over. Rebecca Carly has seen little hovering things at her window. And I have heard of small devices flying over and dispensing some kind of mist that makes people sick. And this is not fiction. These things are happening.
Okay, well
that's news for me. I haven't heard that. Well, I do know the technology is pretty phenomenal. And the capacity of these people, they have so much resources. They can do quite a few cool, slick things with light, energy, electricity, etc.
Yep.
Okay, we got a full slot here, Zane. Thanks for the call. I'm going to move on.
Thanks, Zane.
All right, we'll talk soon, Zane. Thanks. Moving to Lark in Texas. Lark, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Well, thanks, Fetch. I was so delighted yesterday when I learned that you were going to have John on for 3 hours. I knew that the Saturday would not be dull.
There goes your Saturday, huh?
Yeah. Now, Fetch, did I hear you say that you were touched by the newspaper biz bug at one time?
Yeah, actually, I was. You know, I was. I've been around this media business a lot longer than I let on to. But yeah, I did printing. As growing up, I actually grew up as a printer, and I had my own little small business doing printing, doing the newspaper, local newspaper, college newspaper stuff, and I used to enjoy it, and I would get in trouble for it, because, again, even as a student, I was very, you know, regarded as one of the more elite on the intelligence side, and I refused to buckle down to the administrator's points of views, and I would air my views. And take the flak and say, well, that's the price I have to pay. I don't care.
Well, that's funny. I know that when I was between the ages of 15 and 17, 18, I worked for a couple of newspapers down here in Texas. Remember, I was just a kid. But I worked as a wire room attendant on the graveyard shift at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, which later was bought out, and they the locals started calling it the Startlegram. And, and of course the competing newspaper finally went out of business. But it's very interesting. At that time, Jim Mars was working as a police beat reporter, here in Fort Worth. And in high school, I worked on an underground newspaper. So, it's interesting that I got touched by that newspaper bug early on, but then I learned about something called the Society of Newspaper Editors and Publishers. And working as a wire room attendant, I realized immediately that all the news was controlled. Because that's what a wire room attendant did. All he did was cut copy and, place it on these dowel rods on a rack for the various editors to be able to piece through, and this was the bulk of their content. But, what was really interesting is that my best friend at the time was an only child, and his father was the chief of, detectives for the Fort Worth Police Department. And this just happened to be, I learned later, in a conversation with, Jim Mars, and I'm not a fan of a lot of his stuff, just, to let you know, but, he's a local boy. And, then I realized how manipulated even the local news was, controlled. But what I really want to talk about,
I'm going to hold you there because we're going to go into a break. We'll keep you over through the break, Clark. This is The Fetch with John Kaminsky, and you're listening to Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Joining me from South Florida, John Kaminsky, essayist. And again, telephone lines are open, 512-904-8014. Or 1-866-841-1065 or Skype, get on air. Again, joining us from Texas, Lark in Texas. Lark, go ahead and complete your story there.
Well, the story's pretty much completed, but really I think the way I was connected to the two of you's experience is, you know, I'm just 58, but in those days, I can say that by the time I turned 18 years old, I was done with my newspaper career. I decided I couldn't honestly go into a profession like that, particularly since I was attracted to the counterculture and so forth at the time. But I want to segue from that and talk about Michael Lerner for just a moment, if I might.
Okay, sure.
Now, Michael Lerner is a communitarian. Yes, he's a rabbi, but he's what you would call a Marxist change agent. You go on YouTube and you can watch Michael Lerner lecturing to so-called Christians, who are in rapt attention as this man is spinning his tails and weaving his Unitarian mind F word, if you will. But I know that, you know, John, I too have been looking for that one word that would cause people to coalesce. You know, we can say that we're looking for the right memes because we're involved in a memetic warfare. In terms of how do we get through to the American people in an intelligible way, something understandable, that they can begin to see the reality for the way it is.
Accept no substitute. And the word is Jew, and it has to be that word, because any other synonym, I mean, that puts Lerner in the same category with both Zechariah Sitchin and John Hagee, who are also using synonyms. And we have to dispense with all of them. We have to dispense with Shabbatai and Frankist and communist and feminist and focus on the problem, which is Talmudic Jew. And that said, it has to be pointed out that there are well-meaning Jews who are appalled at Israeli behavior and appalled at the Jewish control of reality. But the vast majority of Jews are hiding in all these synonyms and promoting the same kind of deception that is destroying the world.
Yeah, and I of course, work in the occult. Lark, thanks for the call. We're going to move on. I work a lot in the occult, guys, as you know, and I deal a lot with creating these memes because that's really what it is all about. And, yep. And yes, the word, you know, at the end, you know, I know people are uncomfortable with it, but you know what, guys? I grew up in Los Angeles. I worked within the Jewish community, and you don't hear them using that word in a way that's not normal and rational. The problem is that we in the politically correct world, we don't understand that this word is perfectly normal to be used in a Jewish community. And it's not as if they have a right to bastardize it in our own language. You know, if you go into a black community, they'll use the term nigga all the time. You'll hear it all the time. Yeah. Well, if you go into a Jewish community, you're going to hear the word Jew all the time. It's just the way it works. But who made that word such that it's off limits to everybody who's white and wants to deal with the political issue? It's not right for these people to control our language. And they have no right to control our language. But they, of course, they're trying to impose that right. And by acquiescing to their wishes and demands, we give them that right to control the language. And I'm not of the frame of mind to let them control the language. A spade is a spade, a Jew is a Jew, and a diamond's a diamond. It just is. You're not being improper here, and you're not being politically incorrect. You are being politically correct.
The propaganda has been so strong across time that people, it's the combination of intimidation and the fables that have been told about the Holocaust that make people really antsy about using it. And now, in this day and age, with all these new oppressive laws, anytime somebody uses the word Jew, people look over their shoulders to see who's listening, because there's always somebody listening.
Yeah. Going to go to another call. 407, I think that's in the Florida area also. I'm not sure. Hi, who are you, and welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, I'm Kim from Central Florida, and I know Johnny's in South Florida, and we love South Florida as well. And we love your show, Dennis, and we listen to you all the time.
Thanks a lot.
And I wanted to just mention one thing briefly. Sometimes we listen to Genesis Network. There's a pharmacist named Ben Fuchs on that network. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He still holds his pharmaceutical license. However, he does not dispense drugs any longer, and he teaches people how to take care of their health. And he does not, you know, talk negative about every drug, but he recommends you eat the proper food and take the proper nutrients first, and then if you need medical attention, you would turn to the doctor's prescription drugs. At any rate, he would advise John on his foot if John were to call him. He takes free calls between 11 and 12 Eastern Time on his show, and he's a skin specialist as well, so he can address any issues of the skin.
Thank you. I've tried lots of things. I've tried coconut oil, which my friend Bob just recommended, and lots of other things. And actually, the colloidal silver seems to be working. I'm optimistic that it's going to do the job.
Yeah, the colloidal silver is wonderful. He mentions that on his program. He talks about anything that can build the body up instead of breaking it down. And but he is such a skin specialist. He studied the skin for 20 years. And when I heard your problem with your skin, I thought of him. And I like to reach out and help our fellow men and women that are on the same page. And if you're ever interested in getting more information, you can ask him. And you can also email him. And he may have some type of special ointment or something available.
Thank you very much. I'll check it out.
That's very good.
Yeah. And I don't like to use a conflicting network, but he is such a valuable person, I had to mention it.
That's all right. We're all in this together. If it's
right.
Working in the same vein and channel, it's all right.
This is a team sport.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Uh-huh. Thanks, Kim. And moving right along, John in Florida. Hi, John. Welcome to Inside the Eye Line.
Excellent. Do you think it's, why is it America still believe murder laws don't work, gun laws don't work, if they think another gun law will work in light of this fake shooting up there in Connecticut? How can they still believe in that stuff?
Well, we're actually going to get to that segment very shortly here. We're going to talk about Connecticut, because that is a whole big problem that clearly is a front operation. This didn't go down anywhere near the way the media is talking about that. So, John, yeah, we're going to get into that very shortly about Connecticut.
I'll stay on the line and listen, because I'm in the car.
Oh, okay. That's probably why you're breaking up a little bit. Just a little bit of wind noise, baby. All right, John, we'll keep you on hold.
Thanks, John.
Thanks,
John. I'll have plenty to say about that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a lot to say. So I think it was Kim gives you a little bit of advice, on the skin care.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's always helpful. You never know what helps, you know. Going back real quick to 9/11, Jeff Rentz. You know, you were on Jeff Rentz a lot. John, what happened?
Oh, dear, dear, dear. I pinpoint one story I wrote that crystallized a larger chasm that developed between us. I wrote a story called Jews Don't Believe in Freedom of Speech, and it was printed on Rentz as Zionists Don't Believe in Freedom of Speech, but unbeknownst to him, it was printed on other websites as Jews Don't Believe in Freedom of Speech, and that led to a very long argument that continues to this day about the use of the two words. My position was then and is now and will never change that Zionism is a descriptor that allows Jews to hide behind their crimes. By insisting that it is not all Jews, Jews are able to penetrate aspects of the opposition as they did with 9/11. Jews ruined the 9/11 skeptics movement by their insistence that we not talk about Jews in relation to 9/11, when in fact the only thing you should be talking about 9/11 is the involvement of Jews. Zionism stems from the Balfour Declaration, stems from Benjamin Disraeli, actually created the word.
John, don't enter a break. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Line. We'll be right back, everybody. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Fetch. You are live Inside the Eye, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Telephone lines, again, are open, everybody. If you'd like to call in again, it is 512-904-8014. That's 512-904-8014 or 1-866-841-1065. You can use your Skype account, Get On Air. Those numbers are also available in the chat room or above the chat room. That is at InsideTheEyeLive.com. Then click on the live chat button, and that will get you right in. Our guest today, John Kaminsky, essayist and a longtime, really, internet personality. Worked a lot with Rentz, and that's where we were, John. You were working a lot with Rentz, and apparently this story you wrote, was, he changed it on you from Jew to Zionist, which was
he did. And that was his right to do that. And at the time, because it hadn't quite all crystallized in my mind, at the time, I didn't mind too much. That was just his way of doing it. It was his show, and he could do what he wanted with it. I mean, he was my editor, so he was entitled to do that. But the mere fact that it happened and that other people didn't do that got me thinking and investigating further. And after a short period of time investigating the situation, I began to discover the phenomenon of Jewish synonyms, where they create anarchists and they create liberals and they create feminists. And these are all Jewish movements. And that led me to invent a term which other people are using pretty regularly now, called the Jewish destabilization template, that is totally dependent on a deception of language that makes people think, oh, it's this one group, when in fact, when you track the history of the Rothschilds and the history of control of the American financial system, which has led to the control of all the other systems, media, medicine, law, education, and all the rest, I began to see the scam which was going on. And now I say to people that the whole problem derives from the heart of Judaism. So no Jews can escape the onus of it. The Talmud says that the Talmud commands, and the great Jewish philosopher Maimonides commands Jews everywhere to either kill or enslave all the non-Jews of the world and take their property. And this is what is driving the destruction of America right now, in a very deceptive and sophisticated way, with all these control programs being implicated in the minds of all Americans. Jews, when you look at all Jewish holidays, they all celebrate the slaughter of non-Jews. And every year, Jews take an oath to essentially lie about everything that they say. And when you ask a Jew about it, he'll lie about it and say, oh, no, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that. And
yeah, it's, John, it's very frustrating to hear these guys argue semantics.
I know.
Being in the occult and the use of language, and of which English, I'm an expert on occult use of English. I don't play it, and I'm very strong, but I hear you, what they're saying. We have some calls, John. People want to get in.
Okay.
I have a lot of calls here, so hold on.
I have more on this rip, but go ahead.
Yeah, we'll come right back to it here because we want to get to the call. Hi, 512 area code. Who are you? And welcome to Inside the Eye Line.
Hello. 512 area code?
Well, that's what it says on our screen, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I dial.
Anyways, who are you and welcome?
Well, I've got myself online in the chat room as Homo Lion, but I'm actually somebody that's been in contact with John for quite some time. I said in the novel I wrote quite some time back called Road to Angel City, and I was still one of these artists that was still trying to express all of what we're talking about here in a way that would include the ordinary reader. What I had lost track of was how few ordinary readers there were left. So, hello, John Kaminsky.
Who is this, and what's your question?
Oh, my question is, I was making comments in the chat room, and people were saying I should call in, because I just wanted to call in and say hello, and thank you for the metaphrandial bus ride down through Central America that I'm still on, which explains why I haven't been in touch as often as I wanted to, but I wanted to let you know I'm still here.
I think we'll
still working on it.
I think Dennis and I one day are going to do the Metafrand stuff on Illuminatus Observer because this is a political show, but I appreciate that, and I hope you're safe.
Yes, sir. It's a daily problem, but I'm still riding that bus, and I hope you do a show on Metafrand.
Stay tuned for that. We'll put that on the Esoteric Hour on Awake Radio. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the good work.
All right. Thanks for the call. You know, going in there, we had you talking about the Kol Nidre, of course, and that's a big issue. Most people really don't understand the Kol Nidre. They don't have any idea about the Kol Nidre. And why don't you go more into the Kol Nidre if you can real quick?
Gladly. It's a very ritualistic, ceremonial, and sacred thing that the Jews do every year where they take an oath that everything they said during the past year will not be binding. So that means everything they said doesn't really count. And they look ahead to doing that in the following year. And they renew it every year so they don't forget it. And it means they can lie to everybody about what they say and it doesn't count. So when you use the phrase Jewish ethics, it means exactly nothing. Because nothing that a practicing Jew who believes in the Talmud, nothing they say can be trusted.
And you talk to Jewish people about this, and they want to gloss it over. It's like, guys, come on.
Well, of course.
We're trying to cover up for it, because that's the law of Mesira, where no Jew can actually admit a truth to a non-Jew. It's like you're dealing with people you just can't pin down. They're like slime. You can't put your hands on it and grab it, just like you can't grab slime. You can't grab mercury. It's a very etheric thing. And this is, again, why I agree. You just can't put these people in control or power because they can't be trusted.
And
the management stinks, John. Come on. They're running the country now, and the country's management stinks. They're terrible managers. They don't know what they do, but they've deluded themselves in saying, we are the beacons of light unto the world. We know all. Yet when we look at the management style of what's going on in America, we see they stink at it.
Their prime directive is to kill or enslave everyone in the world, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, you can't argue that when you see the GMO from a Jewish-controlled thing like Monsanto, and then who knows what's going on with the spraying, the aerosol spraying. So, yeah, it's very difficult to know what's going on. And it's who knows what's going on in the medical world with the vaccines?
It's everything. It's every aspect of human endeavor.
Do you deal at all with, you're talking about genocide, but they really seem to have it in for the white people.
Well, because the white people are the superior culture in the world, and they want to be that. So that's why they pretend to be white and interbreed with all these European royals. We're faced with a Jewish Queen of England Jewish infiltration of Britain, because Britain was the power structure of the world, and they've taken it over. Queen Victoria's best friend was Benjamin Disraeli, and she basically did everything he said. And then from there has devolved this poison society where everything is a lie and the truth is put in jail, just like all those people who question the Jewish accounts of the Holocaust. They're not allowed to speak about them throughout Europe, and if they do, they're put in jail. Tell the truth and go to jail was a story I wrote back along the trail, and that's the situation the world finds itself in now. People have been coerced and blackmailed and bribed into silence. And
going into a break there, John. Hold on to that thought. Guys, top of the hour. It's the Fed with John Kaminsky, Inside the Eyes, live intelligent media for the politically aware. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. It is indeed the Fetch, and you are live inside the eye right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I had Doug on the line earlier today on the Skype privately, because if you've been listening to Inside the Eye Live the last two shows, we've gone from 2 hours to 3 hours. In that third hour, there was a programming glitch. Something in the script was making songs come on. It wasn't even my song, at least the song that I would put in my bumper music. 30 seconds into the slot, top of the hour here, a new song would play, and boy, that was annoying. And Doug says, I fixed it, and he says he's monitoring. So Doug, so far, so good. It sounds great. Our guest today, John Kaminsky, essayist, a longtime contributor on the internet. And just a quick programming note, I will be live Monday and Tuesday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I know that's going into the Christmas holiday, but indeed, I will be there. And you can count on some live programming here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. It's going to be light. We're not going to get too heavy, but we will go ahead and put a show on and try to keep a little bit of live entertainment here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network as everybody goes into the holiday season. Hi, John. You welcome back?
I'm here.
You are back. All right. You know, Cromwell, he was instrumental in this whole scheme of allowing Jews back into Western civilization, and people don't give them enough credit.
Well, I like to frame the Jewish penetration of reality and the progressive destruction of the world as dating from when Cromwell did let the Jews back into England. They've been banned there for 400 years, and they've been thrown out of, I don't know what the number is, either 82 or 107 countries over time, always for the same crime, for cheating people financially and getting them into financial binds and winding up with everybody's property. And that's exactly what's happened in the United States. That's exactly what Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson warned us, or George Washington even warned us about, to keep the Jews out of this country, or I forget the exact quote, but I think it was Franklin who said, If we admit the Jews into this country, well, in 200 years, we will have lost all our land and be slaves to the Jews, and that's exactly where we're at right now.
Why do you think the American political establishment, meaning the Anglo-Saxon, is so neutered?
I think everybody has the potential to be corrupt, and you just have to find the right way to bribe them. It's like most people have a price, and to me, this indicates the failure of our spiritual systems, because they're corrupt as well. The church has been bought off as well. The Rothschilds have taken over the church's finances, and now there are many Catholics who insist that the last five popes have been anti-popes. They all have Jewish heritage, and we have a pope now who calls the Jews our elder brothers. And this is a guy who's supposed to be promoting this divine Messiah, and he's calling the people who insist his divine Messiah is hanging upside down in eternity in a pile of dung our elder brothers. Now, what is the morality in that? As far as the whole epidemic of priests molesting children, I think if you research that carefully, and I can't give you citations, I've only had snippets of it, but there was a movement in the last 50 years of Jewish homosexuals to enter Catholic seminary because they would be safe there and to carry out the various activities of being accepted.
Okay, you're breaking up again. John, it's John Kaminsky from South Florida, everybody. It's the Patch Inside the Online. Intelligent media for the politically aware. We'll be right back right after this. Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's the Patch Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. John Kaminsky joining us from South Florida. John, really, you know, I'm in the Middle East in Amman, Jordan, so I'm out of touch with the U.S. news cycle, but I understand that it is an absolute zoo relative to the shootings up in Connecticut.
Oh, my goodness. Where to begin?
I mean, we have an issue where you got purportedly 20 kids killed. You have six or seven adults, six on the campus, one purportedly the mother. You've got police showing up. This is what I've been able to piece together. The kids don't talk about any shooting. The two interviews I've seen on YouTube, they're not actually talking about any shots being fired. They talk about people on the roof. They talk about put your hands up. And they talk about don't shoot. But no one's talking about there was lots of gunfire and boom, 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 boom. You know what? We don't hear that. And an AR assault rifle, if it was used, is exceptionally loud. So what's going on?
I like to put things into context. And this is the latest in a series, 60-some events dating back a couple of decades of public shootings of a very suspicious nature, or supposed public shootings of a very suspicious nature. In each one of these, people have looked behind the scenes and done something untoward, as with the killing of John Lennon or the shootings at Aurora, where all the facts don't add up. And they certainly don't add up in this particular instance. The most sensational story has been Mike Harris's insistence that an Israeli hit squad carried out the deed. But there is some question about the kids having been killed at all since the caskets were closed, and the most unbelievable thing of all, that the parents were not allowed to see their murdered children. Top that off with a statement by some flunky in the Connecticut State Police who said that anybody who opposes the mainstream version of the official version of events is subject to prosecution. And, of course, a lot of people, Kerwin for one, have jumped on that as an affront to every American out there. And I take that a step further and see that as an admission of a cover-up by the Connecticut State Police, where they are legally prohibiting people from questioning what...
John, if you're, you know, I heard one statement out there that says, we are going to inspect everything, and that includes every round. Well, how do you conduct an autopsy on 20, 26 people, pull all the bullets out, do this forensic investigation of all the bullets in a span of 8 hours?
That's why it reminds me of 9/11. It's a totally fictional story, and the American people have become so dumbed down by environmental influences, by chemtrails, bad nutrition, and mainstream media propaganda, that they can't even, they can no longer do any critical thinking. If they ever could, they definitely can't now. So we have the, network news, rushing to cover the funerals and cover Obama supposedly crying, and there's been this, as with 9/11, there's been this emotional haze put over everyone's thinking, and we can't think straight about what happened. There's no independent investigation going on of this. It's all
Where is the DA for the state? Where are the top senior officials? Who is this flunky, this sheriff that's talking to the media? Any fact comes from this microphone. Where are the DAs? It's a huge case purportedly. Where are the real senior level officials on this? We get is an idiot with a funny hat and a badge.
They're in the same place that all the district attorneys of the United States were when we found out there was irrefutable evidence that Arab hijackers didn't knock down the skyscrapers in New York. We do not live in a free society. We live in a police state where all the information is tightly controlled, and our minds are constricted by all these influences that we don't even recognize.
But John, the internet is too powerful now, and there's too many of us on this issue. It's not as if they are getting away with it factually like before.
They are getting
away. It's just a matter we don't have instruments of state to go smash them.
That's correct. We don't have any avenue of opposition, because the entire judicial system, the entire legal system, is bribed and blackmailed or murdered into agreeing with the official statements that are being put out, and there's no way to oppose them. The only way to oppose them is for millions of people to say no, and that's why, and that's happening to some degree, and it's reflected in the gun sales, which are off the charts now, because this whole event is widely seen as the latest in a series of events aimed at shaping public opinion into banning guns. And as we learn from the lesson of the Soviet Union, when you ban firearms and get everybody to hand them in, that's just an invitation for them to slaughter them, to slaughter all of us. And what people don't realize, I can't believe everybody's not plugged into this, but they're not, because they're lost in their own trivial private lives without having any notion of public responsibility. And people are not aware that giving up your guns means forfeiting your life, because the government is already engaged in a plethora of programs to shorten our lives and make us die unnatural deaths. They're attacking us from every angle. I've been saying this for years. It's a 360-degree murder plot, and people are, because they're so dumbed down, are just not picking up on it.
Do you think the internet has any chance of changing this perception?
It hasn't changed the 9/11 perception, and I think it's important and instructive to note that no matter how valid or how loud the hysteria got about the 9/11 cover-up, it didn't change a thing. It never penetrated the mainstream level of reality, and I think all this hue and cry and alternative theories and wringing of hands is not going to do it this time either, because America is just too far gone, and we can all expect to die premature deaths based on what the government is doing to us. And until we stop that, we're all going to be dead soon. And for me, the only way to effectively change this course is to recognize that Jewish influence has perverted and prostituted and distorted every aspect of our reality, so that none of us are actually able to live normal lives anymore. We've been trapped in this umbrella of fear that is promoted by the media and the government are the same thing at this point. CNN, CBS, all the networks are just mouthpieces of the federal government, and the federal government is not run by people who have won fair elections, and it is not run by well-meaning statesmen who have the best interests of the American people at heart.
And we'll be right back, everybody. It's the Fascist IDI Live, the intelligent media for the politically aware on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's the Fascist IDI Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Our guest today from South Florida, former editor and longtime personality on the internet, John Kaminsky. John, let's talk about this reality. It's something I actually do like to get into. Using words, using technology to craft realities. And we're living in this system of crafted reality where we have one ethnic group, your Jewish people, basically, crafting reality on behalf of everyone. And obviously it's not in the interest of the American people at large or at the individual level either.
I think the big example of it is the terror threat, where all of the public utterances and government programs, probably the most important one is the Department of Homeland Security that was started by the second President Bush, have convinced people, I don't know if they've convinced people, but they say they've convinced people that protecting everyone from terror is the most important thing. And this has been seared into the minds of people by these false flag terror events. by the when you look at 9/11, the FBI was able to name 19 hijackers several hours after the event, yet in the 10 years afterwards, the only people that they were able to find associated with the event, they claim, were these three semi-crazy people who I think were made crazy by government programs, and they've given them all life sentences after protracted trials. In pursuit of this terror event, we instituted the practice of torture. We imprisoned lots of people at Guantanamo, and the sad thing to remember about Guantanamo is that the whole thing, this whole thing about the wars stemming from 9/11 were all inside jobs. I mean, Osama bin Laden was once Tim Osman at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, so, and the bin Laden family was very close to the Bush family, and that the Taliban regime in Afghanistan was essentially a creation of the Wahhabi Saudis, and the Wahhabi Saudi Arabians are really Jews. So the whole thing is an inside job. It's been a manufactured scenario so that all of those people who were tortured to death at Guantanamo were absolutely innocent. They were picked up at random off the streets of Pakistan and called terrorists by Donald Rumsfeld.
And what I don't understand is what in the intelligence community they thought they were going to get out of this whole series. What, you know what I mean? Why stain yourself and do something of this nature unless you're just a sadist and that's all you want to do and you want to operate under cover of authority?
Well, because people do respect the government and the people, young people who join the FBI and organizations like that have to believe in what they're doing, so they believe in what their superiors are telling them. But I don't know what it would take for a young soldier to accept orders from Donald Rumsfeld to torture innocent prisoners in an Iraqi prison with electrical cords. That's a kind of a sadism that was, I think, exacerbated by the drugs that they had been forced to take by the military, where they won't tell them all the ingredients that are in those drugs, and a combination of this Christian evangelical brainwashing that converts Christianity into Judaism and just messes up the minds of everybody involved and has a lot to do with the suicides that American soldiers are creating when they come home and realize what they've done. So, as I say, it's a 360-degree Jewish penetration of reality that has perverted every value we have into something horrible and is eventually going to make us wind up killing each other like the people did in the French Revolution, where their brains were so twisted they didn't know who to trust and started slashing the hell out of everybody. That's what's happening here. One of the things I fear most, and I talked about it a little bit, but it's like everybody's locked up in their own little philosophical direction. And starting with the whites and the blacks, I think, is a good place. I know a lot of white supremacists who say, we have to fight the blacks. And when you look at the blacks, they're ready to fight everybody. And, in fact, there's such an epidemic of black crime in this country now that is not reported by the media. It's just unbelievable. There's a fellow named Jumla who I read from time to time, and he's really an out-and-out racist. But he made a statement the other day, 7% of violent crime in this country is committed by white people. 93% is committed by black people. And yet, because we have a black president, the media is desperately trying to promote blacks being morally superior to whites because of all the hardships they have supposedly endured. It's like everything
is... Well, it's the same victimhood that's used to justify going after Palestinians because of the Holocaust or all these wrongs suffered on the Jewish people through time and history. If we recall, you know, the declaration of war by Judea in 1933 against Germany, you had the British offering the New World Order to Jews in 1940. Because of the ills or the wrongs suffered by the Jewish people.
Everything is upside down. It's like evil is promoted as good and good is castigated as evil. If you participate in the Hillary Clinton type evil, and screw innocent people, you are rewarded for it. But if you try to tell the truth, like the non-Jewish Germans try to do, then you're put in jail. It's all upside down. And we've talked a little bit about this before, and we need to get very philosophical about this, and we'll probably do it on your other show, but I think it goes all the way back into ancient history where matriarchal society was overthrown by rapacious men, and ever since, all of the religions that have been created are created to kill our own deaths, to anesthetize us from our own deaths. And until we recognize that we're only here for a little while, and we better forget about things that we can do for ourselves, how do I want to say this? We need to forget about the fact that we need to follow certain paths so we'll guarantee ourselves eternal life and spend a lot more time caring for the ones we love. This world is going to continue to slide on down toward oblivion.
You think the mythology always says that these people lose in the end because of their stupidity. You think their arrogance will finally get to them here in America?
Well, I think people console themselves for that idea, but I don't see any real evidence of that happening. I mean, we might have a lot of listeners on today's show, but the vast majority of the people of the world are out driving in America are out driving around like crazy trying to buy meaningless Christmas presents for people I don't really like. And it's like our priorities are totally misplaced. We need to be working toward helping every living thing we meet, and instead all we're doing is continuing to kill all these living things and not notice poison, the food is poisoned, our food is so all has been entrusted to a Jewish weapons making company. So what would you expect them to do? They'd make a weapon, and that's what they've done. Bill Gates, who's a Jew, has made all this money, and he's plowing it into these totalitarian programs. He bought a large chunk of Monsanto stock. And
we'll be right back, everybody. Don't hold that. It's the Pastor John Kaminsky right here on Inside the Eye Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Bottom of the final third hour here. If you're not familiar, we've added that third hour effective 3 weeks ago. And glad to have you all aboard for the third hour here. I'm going to go right back to the phones as soon as I find my window, that is. Let's see. Where did you guys go on the phones? There you are. Going to go to 928 area code BJ. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Dennis and John. Very nice to speak with you. John, I wonder if you could make comment on where you think we are, given how stealthily our country was taken over all these years, and obviously they built themselves a nice cabal in the Senate, and it made me realize how long elections probably have been rigged for them to have such a clan in there. But now everything's so blatant, the schemes, the chemtrails, the murders. Do you think that says where we are? I mean, they're moving in for the kill.
Yes, definitely. They definitely are. The killing is already underway. We have things inside our bodies that we don't even know we have, and they are diminishing our lives. The one thing we can guarantee everyone is a premature death, an unnecessarily premature death. But what to do is the real question. We're all frustrated that we don't have control of the judicial system or the system of elected officials. There's no appeal to them. They'll act conciliatory and concerned, but they won't ever do anything about it because they can't too. The only way is to cut the head off. And the only way I know how to do that is to sanction all the Jews in this country, because the Jews are at the bottom of all the systems that have been perverted into methods of destruction. The food production system, the medical drugs, and it's the most difficult thing because it's the thing people are the most afraid to do, and that's why I've stuck to it all this time. It's the number one problem. You can't talk. I've said many times that no matter what problem you're addressing, the first aspect of it you should address is what is the level of Jewish penetration into it and how are they doing it, and that needs to be removed. So many people have said this over time, and they've all either been killed or forgotten. We need to remove the Jews from positions of authority, all positions of authority, especially in the money and the media, because they're constantly telling us lies to profit for themselves. They're only out for themselves. And in a way, you can spread that across humanity, but this is what I mean about the failure of our spiritual systems. All the religious people have knuckled under and said, oh, yeah, the Jews might be a little weird, but we have to help them, too. I think if we help the Jews now, we're killing ourselves. And if we, I hate to use the word killing the Jews because that's, just wasn't brought up that way. But, we need to eliminate them from positions of power. And of course, I don't know how to do that. The only way I know how to do that, and it sounds so ineffectual and naive, but millions of people have to say no more. And I think this is beginning to happen with the sale of arms, of private firearms going through the roof. And I think the government already realizes that no matter how many staged killings they put on for our edification, this is not going to work because people already know in their guts that Thomas Jefferson was right. You cannot give up your guns because you need them to protect yourself against a government that is obviously lying. And we've gotten this far down this road because the Jewish bankers never give up, and it's the financial system that needs to be changed. The government needs to print the money, and the Federal Reserve needs to be eliminated. How to do that?
That's a key issue because right now we have they print the money, they can give it to their friends in the back door, and that money makes its way back in the form of harm for everybody.
Yeah, that's what that's,
the chemtrail program alone must be in the trillions, and it's off the books. I mean, they print the money. And they've used it to do this enslavement and build the cage that's slowly lowering down over us. They've used the printing press, and that is the key to the whole thing. But we're reduced basically to just being able to say, no, I'm not taking a vaccine, or no, don't give me a smart meter. And they've got me down pretty good, John. I'm probably not going to be around by next Christmas. I have 4 smart meters and get chemtrail thickly every day on the Colorado River here.
Yep.
So it's really affecting me horribly. But I just feel like we're in a total defensive mode now. And, you know, aside from going in and taking them all out, which, you know, we can't see that happening. So it's just unbelievable what's really happened.
Okay. We have a lot of calls. I'd like to move on. I agree.
Can I make one answer to that?
Sure.
Yeah.
DJ, thanks for the call, though. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, thanks.
There's only one answer I can see, is that everybody has to unite around this issue of Jewish penetration of reality. I was going to say Dane Wigington said there are 200 million tons of aluminum that have been dropped on the earth, and they kill the soil, and that's why the plants are coming up bad, and that means the food is going to be cut off. So we're going to face major starvation here in a very short period of time, and that's going to result in humongous riots that the cops are going to put down with violence, and that's how most of the people are going to be killed. But until we cut off the head of the Hydra, which is the Jewish power structure in New York and Washington, we're as good as dead.
Okay. Going to Nevada, got a caller. Who are you? And welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, this is Rick in Nevada.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Thank you, Mesh. I really appreciate your work, sir.
Thanks.
It's really fascinating. I mostly called in to, I know since you come from Rinse's program, you know about the Allison City. I wanted to, personally, I used the Allie Max, and it is really outstanding stuff. I just, maybe wanted to, share that with you.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to say, I agree 100% with everything you're saying. It's totally 100% true. And, if there's anything I can do to stand beside you, right behind you, with my back to your back, we need to stand together and work together. And I don't know how we can network together without being, you know, shot down. I'm not afraid. And, the only thing I have is pretty much Facebook, and it's really frustrating, and it just doesn't seem to work. But I'm like you. It's gotta be their title is the Jew, and they can't go with this Zionist and all these other names everyone wants to use. But when I do that, instantly everybody just shuts down. They have them so programmed. It's really, really frustrating. But
you just have to push through it because you're in the right and you know you're right. And we need to have it on the lips of every person that you can't trust a single thing a Jew says, and they are responsible for the destruction of this country and many other countries. They have to be removed from all positions of authority. I don't know what we're going to do with them. You can do anything you want with them as far as I'm concerned, because I'm really not concerned about what happens to them. I'm concerned about what is happening to everybody else.
And we kind of need to use their tactics against them, turn all their tables on them. They have all these things in place. We need to turn them on them. I post the Cole Mulder Oath on Facebook. I mean, that's the only outlet I have, but I know they have total control over that. I don't know who's getting it and seeing it. I get hardly any comments. All I get is people befriending me and blocking me, so I guess it's getting out there. I'm just a carpenter and a musician, and if I could put a band together like Poker Face, that'd be great, but I cannot seem to find people.
Just keep doing everybody has to keep doing the best they can. Once you cross over to understanding what's happening, you never go back because you realize how evil they are. And one person at a time, but it's going to take millions, and we got to get them together fast so people have to realize the threats to their lives about how they're already half dead and they're going to be killed shortly. And we have to all rally together, and I hope it's not violent, but I don't see how it can be any other way, where these people are not acting in our best interest, and we need to get them out of all their positions of power. And especially the young people need to see this. They already half know it by knowing that when they go to school, the stuff they're being taught is BS.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Rick, thanks for the call.
Glad to be on the beer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thanks, Rick. John, that's the phone line, man. I don't know what to tell you. We'll be right back, everybody. We've got more callers. We're going to get to you online. So stay there. Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware, right here on the Orange Broadcasting Network. And welcome back, everybody. It's final segment. Phones are still lit up, so we're going to go straight to it, John. This is Richard on the West Coast in Washington. Hi, Richard. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, good afternoon. I usually just call in just to remind people there's another perspective. What has been going on since the time of the Caesars, if not before, is a divide and conquer. And to divide and conquer, you have to first label and generalize. And that's exactly what's happening. Instead of looking at these people that control us as the interbreeding sociopathic tribe, we label them with Jew or black or Israeli or whatever. Let's stop the labeling, because when we realize that by creating religion and herd mentality kind of perspectives, we're ripe for being taken over. And this country was founded on being self-reliant, small tribal cooperatives that were self-reliant and independent of the big system. If you are in subjection to somebody of higher authority, you're already in trouble. I mean, you've already given up your self-reliant freedom, so there's probably no hope at that point. So what we have to do is get to the bottom of the pyramid and all become independent and self-reliant.
Are you Jewish?
No. Should I be?
You sound like one.
No, I'm a congregationalist, been raised that way, and since then I'm an atheist because I don't want to be mind-controlled.
Okay, here's the deal. We're prevented from doing everything by the Jewish penetration of reality. All our thoughts have been scrambled. We have to identify the perpetrators of our misery first, and the identification has been made. And we're unable to do anything as long as the Jews are still in power, which they are in complete and total power, so we can't do anything. We can't form independent communities because we have these SWAT teams coming down on us that are engineered by, that are commanded by Jewish entities in the United States government. In fact, there is no United States government anymore. There's only a Jewish United States police force. And we have to...
And they're all trained in Israel, and you've got the ADL literally training them. It's clearly... Thanks, Richard, for the call. I know that's your point, and I'm glad you made it. But obviously, people are going to disagree with it here. We're going to keep moving just because we have more calls here. Guy from Tejas. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Guy. Just keep your speakers down and you'll be fine.
I think your speaker has got a good point, and you too. Communication is the key here. That's why you guys are oracles on it. Why the media is there is it's to control. So if you want simple words and you want to break through all the spells that are going on, let me just leave you with a couple of words and broke it down. What you're dealing with is well beyond Judaism. You're dealing with ancient ideologies, especially through Arianism. But the bottom line is, if you want to have a name for these people, they're canine. They're what? Think of the word ka, kanon, kanen.
Yeah, I know, but if they manifest today, Guy, you know, they're manifesting through the Jewish religion and Jewish faith. There's no such thing as a Canaan existent today. I mean, if you go into any of the political processes, you're going to find Jewish people pretty much everywhere organized as part of the enslavement system. That's the problem we
have. First steps first. We have to prolong our lives, and in order to prolong our lives, we have to get the Jews out of power.
It's no different from Weimar, you know. We're in a Weimar situation right now, Guy. I don't know how you could not. I mean, you know, we can get into the etherics of it, but as it manifests in reality, it's pegged. We understand the problem. It's been a problem for mankind for thousands of years.
No.
It's the same evil. It's just today's version.
Yep.
Any last comments, Guy?
Like I said, it's a first step first. We have to deal with the immediate threat. And it's
okay, Guy, thanks for the call. Go ahead, John.
We have to deal with the immediate threat, and it's overwhelming at this point. They have plans to take away our guns, and they're already slaughtering us through many different methods.
Yeah, and this whole Connecticut thing is obviously a fabricated story to create the emotional impetus to get people to submit and let the guns go.
That's right.
Which is failing, of course, big time. Still, people on the line. John, you've lit up the phones. I think this is the most we've ever had. Rich from Chicago on Skype. Hi, welcome to Inside VI Live.
Fritz?
Rich?
Rich is not.
Are you talking to me?
Rich, if you are on Skype, right? In Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, you're live. You want to go live?
No, I'm in the Ozarks.
No problem. Welcome to Inside VI Live.
Greetings, gentlemen, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
John, right?
John.
Yeah. Have you ever done any research into Holder and Susan Rice? They both look like Jewish mulattoes to me. Are they half Jewish?
Undoubtedly.
Okay.
Undoubtedly. The whole government is Jewish. The whole advisory staff of both presidential candidates are entirely and exclusively Jews.
That I understood, but they look fishy to me. You know, they
definitely are fishy. Holder is a... You talk about treason. Holy cow. I mean, he got guns into the hands of the Mexican drug dealers so they could come and harass the residents of the United States. And that's just typical.
And he worked.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and he worked for Clinton's, attorney general, didn't he, at Dern Waco?
Well, that could be, but what's your question?
No question. I just was curious about that.
Yeah, they
are. I know we're almost out of time, so.
Yeah, the whole operation is Jewish. It has been for decades.
For literally decades. Okay, Rich, thanks for the call there.
Thanks, Rich.
I think you're right. I mean, it's been well documented. It's not as if we are saying anything that's not known. John, real quick, I want to run through. We just got a few minutes here. We're going to have you back. I mean, you've done a great job here for us today. Resist.com.
Oh boy.
Just real quick, roll through it.
Well, I rents threw me off, other people have thrown me off. I had this wonderful webmaster in Ireland who did johnkaminsky.info, and he got caught up in the white supremacy thing, which is a whole long story that we can't get into now. And now, a fellow named Bob in DC rescued me and did my website and parked it on resist.com, which is Tom Metzger's website, which is a white racist website. And while I sympathize with many of the things that they say, it really wasn't a good fit because I'm not really a racist.
Nor are you a white nationalist.
Nor am I a white nationalist. And I can see many of the problems that blacks are creating in this country, but they're not wholly guilty for what they're doing. They were put here by Jews to begin with. So anyway, that site is dead. I have to park it somewhere else. It's still together.
Okay, truthseeker.co. Truthseeker.com.
Truthseeker.com. He kept my name on it, but he stopped running my stuff. Rents used Truth Seeker as a reason to throw me off, and Truth Seeker called me a Zionist stooge, but still runs my stuff when he feels like it. I think he's a Catholic, and I feel that he is, you know, he's trying to walk both sides of the street. He's trying to maintain his advertising by catering to secret Jews, and I personally don't go to the site anymore.
Okay, and then what are the websites you've been thrown off of recently?
Oh, my God. Well, recently I haven't been on any. Back in the day, all of the major ones, because I refused to use the term Zionist, because Zionism is not the problem. The problem is the heart of the Talmud and the Jewish penetration of reality, which has ruined every area of human endeavor, from health to medicine to law, you name it, to physics, you name it. It has been overthrown by Jewish psychoanalysts, if you want to call them, who have perverted every aspect of human reality. And the nub of it goes back to our belief system. We have a false belief system that is destroying everything that we love.
They're in total, or they seek to have total command of the language. Torture is no longer torture.
Right.
War is no longer war. Peace is no longer peace. John, it's been great having you. We're just going to have you back. You've lit up the phones. Great show. Everybody catch John here on, John, we're done. Catch John on the archives.
I just want to say thank you to everybody out there who has helped me so much. I'm very grateful.
All right, that's great. So guys, we're done. It's the best. Inside the Eye Live. We'll see you Monday afternoon.